Welcome to Witch Yes, a podcast for casual conjurings, witches in training, and spring break.
Spring break.
Spring break.
That's how like James Franco said it, right?
In the movie Spring Break.
In Spring Breakers, yeah. Spring break.
Spring break. Wow, I have not thought about that movie in forever.
I think about it all the time. It was crazy.
Vanessa Hutchins.
Mm-hmm.
Selena?
Selena. Yep. There were two other cuties in it because it was like four girls. Let's see.
James Franco.
Yeah. The creepiest part.
He's the worst part.
Ashley Benson and Rachel Curran.
Okay.
I don't know them.
From Ashley Benson, Rachel Curran, Selena Gomez, and Vanessa Hutchinson.
Vanessa Hudgens.
From my girl Vanessa, my best friend. If you were to assign me, you, Artemis Marcel, to those three actresses, Mike is James Franco.
Yikes. From that movie?
Dolly's James Franco. Dolly's the car.
Dolly's the car. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. Personality-wise, and I have not seen this movie in a long time, all four girls kind of have the same personality from what I remember.
Well, one's kind of meek. One's kind of like,
do you want to be the meek one?
No. I mean, maybe. Oh. I mean, I'm a Porsche. Do I have to be a Porsche in every universe?
Okay. Speaking of that, though, tangenting a little bit, and then we'll say the little thing. I had a dream like 3 nights ago where there was this dead body and I had to get rid of it. And I was like, but I've killed before. And Tara was with me. So how did we dispose of the body then? And so then I had this quandary in my dream of being like, wait, but did I kill before? I feel like I'd really remember if I killed someone before. And then I woke up and I told Marcel about it. And he was like, you and Tara would never be able to dispose of a body. What you guys don't realize is that you're both Porsches. And I was like, you are rude.
That is the worst thing that's ever been said.
So mean.
It's, you can't have two Porsches in a room. They'd kill each other.
But I was also like, could I chop a body to bits? Because that's how you'd have to make it small, right? But it'd be like so messy.
Okay, but you don't have to do bits. You don't have to do bits. Listen, I've listened to a lot.
Oh, okay.
But you don't have to do bits. You just have to do enough that you can carry it. And I do have limited upper body strength.
I work out, so I feel like I'd be better able to do this.
Yeah. So the bits could be much larger.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, just like you know, rep, bit per bicep rep.
Okay.
I love that you were like, but I've done this before. I swear the muscle memory is within me.
I was like, how did I get rid of the body back then?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Learn from your mistakes.
And we didn't get caught. I was like, it was the perfect scenario. And I was like, how do I not get caught this time too?
Why did Alicia's psyche make her kill again?
I don't remember killing. I just like found this dead body. And I was like, huh, I've been in this situation before.
Hasn't this come up during our – so Alicia and I have a top secret Patreon dream podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that comes up a lot, that it's like you don't usually do the killing, but you're like, it's after the fact. And that's like a very interesting angle, because I do the killing and then the dream's over.
Well, that's probably the difference between listening to murder podcasts and not listening to murder podcasts. You have a much more vivid imagination of that whole process. And I'm like, that sounds gross.
Yucky,
I'd rather
yuck.
Not.
Nipple belt? What the fuck?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, on today's episode.
I don't want to know. On today's episode, the solar eclipse.
Spring break!
And speaking of the solar eclipse, I just finished watching the Sailor Moon Eternal movie, which features a solar eclipse.
I have not seen it. Here's the expert. Here she is.
Oh, so there's a solar eclipse in Tokyo, and Chibi Moon's about to go back up to Silver Millennium to, you know, live out her days with her real mom and not her 14-year-old mom. Then a solar eclipse happens, and then the Dead Moon Circus arrives, and, you know, all hell breaks loose. And it's a 2-part movie on Netflix.
The Dead Moon Circus. It's very pretty. Wow, what a name.
I know.
So scary.
Very scary. With little hotties running around, barely wearing any clothes. Like, less clothes than usual for Sailor Moon. I was like, all right, guys. This is some real anime shit over here.
They got those teeny tiny tops.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. And the big hair, which, you know, I love some big hair. I'm all for that. But yes, that's, I was like, how coincidental, how kismet.
Yeah. Oh, the synchronicities.
All of this aligns.
I would love to, based on my research of the solar eclipse, I'm very interested to see how the Dead Moon Circus
is going to appear.
Like, I'm there with my mom, my dog, her dogs. What are we going to do? Moon Prism Power, that's what.
Absolutely. And, you know, in other astrological news, we have a Mercury in retrograde in Aries. That's happening right now.
I really don't like it. I'm not having a good time.
Did you feel it during the shadow period?
Yeah. I mean, the interactions that I'm having with the people around me are not.
It's me debating you on what a people pleaser is and if it's manipulative.
Now we have to keep
that
it.
That is pretty Aries now of me to do keep right it. Now.
No, it's so funny, though. So whenever you look at astrology where you're like, your interpersonal relationships are going to have a little bit of friction. What's your personal, like, sort of game plan for that? Because mine is, I will see no one.
Mm.
I will say nothing, see no one.
See, I'm a very, like, I take people as they are and then just form my own judgments and talk about them behind their back with other people.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So you can come up to me, you can have friction, say the craziest things, and I'll just be really chill with you. Mm-hmm. That's been my MO. People in bars love me.
Cops? People bars.
They just like trauma dump. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then they leave. We have a great time. I'm their best friend. And I'm like, oh my God, that fucking bitch. She is a mess. A mess. Which is good because, you know, you trauma dump on me. I got to funnel it somewhere. And why not into comedy?
Yeah, take that energy, transform it.
Mm-hmm. I think it's healthy.
That's good. It doesn't live in your body. That's huge. That's great.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're annoying me, I'm probably talking about you to someone else right now. But you might not know that you're annoying me. It's beautiful. It's such a great way to maintain friendships.
Everything is good all the time for all of Alicia's friends.
We're just vibing, right? That's how I do it. How do you just hide? You're like, I'm just not going to see anyone right now.
Yeah. I mean, I do try very hard to make my emotions and my thoughts my business and no one else's business. Mm-hmm. So my general reaction to finding out that things are going to be a little rocky is usually to just like say this is my opportunity to really like tighten the top of that bottle. Just don't shake it.
Don't shake me.
Though, speaking of gossip, did you have anything else?
Oh. No. I want to hear the gossip.
No, here's a problem. I have to stop gossiping.
You have to stop gossiping?
I have to stop gossiping because I've had two in the past couple weeks, two separate unrelated events where I've gossiped about someone to someone else and they were like, Oh, actually
what?
That's my friend. Anyway, this is my new thing, which is that I'm going to try really hard not to gossip. And I've actually started telling people, I'm a gossip. Like, you shouldn't tell me stuff.
That's like my worst fear. It's like I tell people, but, you know, I do it in a cute way so they still gossip with me. If you don't gossip with me, I don't think I could be friends with you. That's what all my friendships are based off of.
Well, we can gossip, but, like, it's never going to come back to me in my career.
I meant, like, the general you. I knew you weren't going to stop gossiping.
Oh, the royal you. The royal you.
The royal. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The others. The big you. Capital Y.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So I think that, like, maybe a part of this Mercury retrograde in Aries might be about my need to stop fucking talking shit.
Mm, the communication of it all.
It's just diarrhea. That's what really Aries is about.
They're like, you need to rein it in, dude.
Yeah, some more fiber.
Communication, the digital space, all of it.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of gossip, can I gossip to you about our latest Patreon members?
I would love that.
They are so cute. I love them so much. So I just wanted to thank all of our recent Patreon members who joined in the past couple weeks. If you are interested in 100 extra episodes and 2 extra episodes a month, which makes this a what? A weekly podcast.
Ooh, so sexual.
18 plus. Spring break. Just head down to our show notes in this episode. If you go there right now, and you're on your phone right now, we could do it right now. Don't forget. I just don't want you to forget about it. Just do it right now. Scroll down before you forget and sign up for our Patreon. We have so many amazing episodes and we have some coming up.
Yes. Last week we talked about the intergalactic psychic artist employed by the FBI, whose name is Ingo Swan, which is his Christian name.
Yeah, it's his daddy's name. There was one before.
That's crazy. So, you know, the generational trauma is ripe. And next week, we have the magical meanings behind birthmarks, which I'm very excited to get into because I got some moles, some goals.
Some holes.
Oh, some holes. She got some holes. And I want to know what it means because I read a book one time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no spoilers. Maybe I'll mention it in this episode. But it told me that if you have on your arm, it was like 3 little moles, something like that, that means you're a witch.
Wait, only 3 moles on your arm?
It was like 3, like in a triangle, like close to each other, close-ish.
Oh, my God. I'm like a quadruple witch.
I know. I know.
Oh, my gosh. I've never felt more special about my pigmentation.
So we'll have to see if that is true or if a YA novel lied to me. We don't know.
I mean, that couldn't possibly be true that a YA would lie to you.
No, absolutely not. YAs only tell the truth.
You know what else is absolutely not?
What?
I don't know, but I do want to talk to you about, before we get into this episode, spring is here. And baby witches, if you're looking for some new drip, you should check out our merch store at Tee Public. Get yourself a Pagan as Fuck or Satan's Little Snack t-shirt. Make it tight.
Make it tight.
Make it tiny.
Ooh.
And give me, your favorite witch, a third of $7.
I love that. I love that for you. I love that for me.
I love us. And I love the baby witches. I want to know, what are we talking about today?
Today, we're talking about solar eclipses. Are you ready?
I have never been more ready. This is going to be my first solar eclipse I get to see.
Really?
Ever.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
I know.
That's
crazy.
I'm
blatant.
Okay, let's get into it. On April 8th, 2024, we will be blessed by the celestial bodies. On that day, we will have a solar eclipse. Whoop, 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 whoop,
spring break.
And honestly, my next question was, Tara, do you remember the last solar eclipse? And you just said no.
Okay, so I remember when it happened, mm-hmm. but I was in
Hawaii.
Okay, so
right?
In Hawaii when like the last one that was like really, you know, in the U.S. So I didn't get any of it. And then I think the time before that, I was in Indiana and they're just like, I didn't have the agency to go and
look at anything. Yeah.
You know?
Well, the last one that I remember was on August 21st. So this was 2017. And I was in Los Angeles, literally on Westwood Boulevard, which is not too far away from where I am right now. I think I had just bought coffee and I was driving to school and kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a solar eclipse happening like right now. So I just pulled over and just like looked up at the sun, you know, not prepared, like. Kept hearing about it, but was kind of in the moment like, oh, yeah, it's like literally happening. This is like worth being late to class for. Like, this is kind of cool. And apparently there was another solar eclipse on October 14th, 2023. So last year, and that eclipse path began in Oregon and passed through parts of Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming before crossing over Canada and ending in the Arctic Ocean. So, I mean, if you were in the Arctic Ocean, you might have seen that one.
Yeah. All of our listeners from Skluzkazis.
Saskatchewan? I don't know where that is in Canada. I know that's in Canada, but I have no idea where it actually is. But I mean, if you were in the Pacific Northwest at the time, you might have seen it, which is pretty fucking cool. Okay, so I think the big question is, I mean, the big question is the witchy stuff and how does this actually impact me in my life? But the other big question is, what is a solar eclipse? And let's talk about the science, y'all. Basic astronomy 101. A solar eclipse is when a new moon passes in front of the sun. Easy enough, right? Absolutely fucking wrong. You failed this test.
Back to first grade.
For scientists and astronomers to calculate when a solar eclipse will appear, there is a lot of math involved. Geometry, which I barely passed. Astronomy science, which I cheated my way through to pass that class with a C+, but that's still passing. Ancient people like the Babylonians, Chinese, and Mayan had advanced mathematics and astronomy good enough to construct some of the most accurate calendars in human history. You know this. We know this. We love a good calendar. But despite these ancient people being so fucking smart, probably smarter than most of us are right now, no one could figure out exactly when and where a solar eclipse would occur. It's one of the messiest problems in orbital science. And why is that, Professor Alicia? So you see me, I have the glasses.
Mm-hmm. She's got the coat.
The coat. It's like a dip shirt. I'm like your sexy teacher, of course. Mm-hmm. Titty's bigger than usual. We got acrylics. Clack, clack, clack. So we're so much smarter than those ancient fucks, right? So why can't we predict all solar eclipses forever and always?
Yeah, what the hell?
And I say, settle down, my chickadees, my beautiful baby. I should not be a teacher. I'm really like sexualizing my students.
I'm in your bosom, like that tree from The Last Unicorn. I'm trapped there.
I'm holding the whole class in there, honestly. So this whole situation is fucking baffling. So listen to this. To predict the exact positions of the Earth, the Sun, and the Moon in the future requires factoring in every little object with a gravitational pull in our universe. So when we calculate for eclipses, we're not just solving for the sun, the moon, and the earth, but for more than a million celestial objects. So if you thought I was bad at triangle math, just fail me now in eclipse math, because there's no way, honey, that I'm going to pass this class.
Absolutely not. Have you seen some of these weird little asteroids, these comets? I mean, I've been told I'm magnetic.
Oh, so you're half the problem.
Do I impact the solar eclipse?
Oh, absolutely. Look at you. With an ass like that, you're bringing us all down. It wasn't until 1715 that anyone came close to predicting the time and place of a solar eclipse. And that brainiac was astronomer Edmund Halley. Yes. If you watched Hey Arnold growing up, this is the guy that Halley's Comet is named after.
That's so crazy.
Edmund Halley was able to use giant tables full of future positions of celestial bodies to hand calculate the timing of an eclipse over London. But he was 4 minutes off.
What? Oh, that sucks.
Really fucking close, but no dice. Not an exact calculation. But the closest anyone has ever been. Nowadays, we have even better science and a large American organization that's sole focus is on space science. And that place is NASA. You hear an eagle screech. NASA uses supercomputers, the most expensive, smartest computers, and hopefully people operating those computers. But even with our mega space science, NASA can only precisely predict eclipses for the next 1,000 years. So 1,000 years. That's it.
Wow.
It's literally a math problem that's impossible to solve. Scientists just hope to guess close enough. So remember that as you plan your eclipse day down to the minute or the second, the fact that we can do that at all is already a fucking amazing thing.
Do you think with like AI that will change?
No, because they're still moving. Because AI would just be a supercomputer, but not, I don't know if it'd be able to calculate every celestial thing that bounces around. Mm-hmm. Like what if a UFO comes here? Does that fuck up all the space?
This is true. This is true. Yeah. Yeah, it's like, what I was literally just thinking that, like, what if there's like sort of like a rogue planet, mm-hmm. asteroid.
The Dead Moon Circus.
The Dead Moon Circus comes in. It's huge.
Yeah. I don't know. I have no idea. So let's talk about the history of eclipses a little bit. The oldest recorded solar eclipse was recorded on a clay tablet found at Ugarit in modern-day Syria with two plausible dates. We don't even know which date is the right date. Like, that's how crazy this is. May 3rd, 1375 BC, or March 5th, 1223 BC. And I'm like, this must be some kind of fucking translation issue because those are two wildly different dates. It's not like May 3rd and March 5th. It's like 1375 and 1220. That's like 100 years difference. Over 100 years. It makes no sense. But as long as people have been clocking solar eclipses, humans have also been like, what the fuck is happening right now? Panicked, you know? So much so that Chinese king Zhongkang supposedly beheaded two astronomers, Si and Ho, because they failed to predict a solar eclipse in their time, which is really sucks. But he's like, y'all are supposed to be able to predict shit, and you did not predict this thing that just happened.
Yeah, you're fired.
So you're fucking fired. We're killing you, dude. Like, I don't trust you at all.
The worst severance package you could possibly get.
I'm going to use your head to play racquetball. Like, no way. Eclipses have been interpreted as omens or portents, which are basically bad omens. I don't know if we've ever talked about the word portent before.
No. I mean, maybe in our very first Patreon episode was on omens.
Mm, it may have come up there.
Which would be an amazing thing to revisit.
Yeah.
Like 5 years later.
That would. The ancient Greek historian Herodotus wrote that Thales of Miletus predicted an eclipse that occurred during a battle between the Medes. The Medes? The Medes? Who are these people?
They're dead. Who gives a fuck?
That's
the
true.
Greeks.
Between the Medes and the Lydians, both sides are at war fighting each other. And when this eclipse happens, you guys, they put down their weapons and declare peace as a result of the eclipse.
Shut up. Oh, my God.
What else are you supposed to do? The gods just came in and told you to fucking stop. So you better listen.
Wow.
It's wild. And there's some biblical fan fiction when it comes to eclipses as well. Attempts have been made to establish that the exact date of Good Friday, you're able to establish that date by assuming that the darkness described at Jesus's crucifixion was actually a solar eclipse.
What?
This research has not yielded conclusive results, and Good Friday is recorded at being on Passover, which is held at the time of a full moon. So that's why they were kind of like, oh, so it must have been a solar eclipse when it happened. But it is also said that Jesus's crucifixion caused 6 hours worth of darkness. And solar eclipses don't really stay around for that long.
No, they don't. But that's like so interesting that, okay, then what else could it be?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is slow enough to like pass in front of a UFO, clearly?
A UFO.
The Dark Moon Circus.
The Dead Moon Circus, yes!
Yes.
Absolutely. That's probably what it was. Other myths from ancient times are that fear led Chippewa people to shoot flaming arrows into the sky to try to rekindle the sun when there was a solar eclipse. And tribes in Peru did the same, but they hoped to scare off a beast that might have been attacking the sun.
Whoa.
In Transylvanian folklore, an eclipse stems from the angry sun turning away and covering herself with darkness in response to men's bad behavior. I don't know if that means men as humans or men as men, but I like it better as men as men.
Yeah, I would really appreciate
it. There's a lot more wrath to that, especially with the sun being a woman. It's like, you boys down there are fucking it up. You got to get your shit together. In Tahitian myth, the sun and moon are lovers who join up making an eclipse, but they get lost in the moment and create stars to light their return to normalcy. So it's like the sun and moon are boating, basically. The kissing.
Oh my gosh.
And in Bohemia, miners believed an eclipse meant good luck in finding gold. So this may be the moment.
I love that for me. Hold on. Can I get back to how many minutes is a solar eclipse? Like 3.5, maybe? I feel kind of bad for that.
That kiss?
Tahitian moon god.
I know. It's one long kiss, you know?
It's too long for a single kiss. It's a little short for a full baby back rib boning.
I don't know. You could get a few thrusts in like 3.5 minutes. Here are other more common myths about solar eclipses in the last few hundred years. So not that long ago. An eclipse will poison any food prepared during the event. This is due to the idea that a total eclipse has the corona emitting electromagnetic radiation that can cause blindness. So the thinking is radiation will harm food, like your microwave oven, I guess. But if that were the case, all the food we've ever eaten would have been affected by the last eclipse. So we'd really be like royally fucked. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, the grain that was growing, the cows that were mooing.
The cows that were eating the grain. Yeah. And pooping it out.
And pooping it out. The poop that was being pooped.
Yeah.
The worms eating the poop.
Another one is if you are pregnant, you should not watch an eclipse because it can harm your baby. And so this is still the whole idea of like that fear of radiation. And this is false. And we have no evidence of that being true at all.
That's funny. I thought it was because the baby gets scared.
No, ah! I mean, you know, if you're pregnant, go out there, get your glasses on, put those glasses on your tummy. Like, have you and your baby both watch the eclipse?
Hold the little headphones that you use to play Bach.
Yeah.
To your tummy. Point them at the eclipse so it can hear the eclipse with the rest of us.
It's a cool baby. Solar eclipses 6 months after your birthday or on your birthday are a sign of impending bad health, which I thought was very specific. But it's also not known to be true unless Tara comes in with the magic and tells us it is true. And then I'm sorry, April 8th birthdays. You're all fucked.
I didn't see anything about that. I didn't see anything about that from my reputable sources that I appreciate and rely on.
I love that. So what should we expect during a solar eclipse? Because this is Tara's first time. I mean, I'm basically the expert here. I've seen one before. On the day of the eclipse with your eclipse glasses on, and we'll talk more about that later, the first thing you'll see is a tiny little nibble on the western side of the sun. As the minutes go by, the color of the sky and the things around you will get a little duller. The wind may even go still as the atmosphere cools inside the growing shadow. It sounds so witchy and crazy. Around 10 minutes before totality, the sun will look like a thin crescent and everything will darken. And you might even notice some animals acting weird. Horses have been known to start shaking their heads and tails. Dogs may get anxious and birds may stop flying or suddenly burst into their evening songs. Not their morning songs, their evening ones. Because they're like, oh, it's dark out.
It's nighttime.
We're about to go to bed.
Honk shoo.
Which I feel really bad for these animals because I'm sure they're just so fucking confused.
I'm very excited to see how my dog reacts.
Yeah, she's skittish already.
She's gonna piss herself. I would lay down my sword too, ancient Greeks.
Mm-hmm. And in these final seconds before totality, some really cool stuff happens. Just before the last sliver of sunlight disappears, the valleys and ridges on the moon's surface cut into the crescent, leaving little beads of light that flicker along the edge of the sun just before the moon pinches them out. In 1836, British astronomer Francis Bailey first recorded this phenomenon, and today these beads of light are called Bailey's beads after him. Right before the last of these Bailey beads disappear, you'll start to see the sun's atmosphere, the corona. With the sun's light covered up, wisps of the corona emerge as this faint ring around the moon. The corona is the outermost part of the sun, for those who needed a vocabulary check, which I don't blame you. I feel you.
Thank you.
Someone's opening their, like, corona light, and they're like, this corona? No. But you can have your corona while watching the corona. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. While having corona.
Boom.
Delta.
Oh. Love it. Then the last bead of light pouring past the moon lights up part of the corona, creating what's called the diamond ring. If you're lucky, you might see little bands of light and dark squiggling across the surface. Those are shadow bands. They're super faint. They kind of look like the shadow of water rippling over sand. And they don't always happen. And the weirdest thing is no one knows for sure why they happen. The best guess is that turbulence in the air messes with that last narrow sliver of remaining light. Kind of like what makes stars twinkle. It's like a little, I don't know, like poof, you know? Isn't this crazy? And then just like that, the sun is gone. Welcome to totality. Bam, bam, bam. Okay, picture this. The moon's shadow falls on you, and where the sun was, there's just a black disk surrounded by glowing corona. Everything's about as bright as during a full moon. It's the middle of the day. yet some bright stars and planets are now visible in the sky. During totality, you can take your eclipse glasses off and look directly at the covered up sun. And there's some cool stuff that you can only ever see during these few minutes of totality. Keep an eye out for reddish cloudy shapes surrounding the disk of the moon. These are called prominences. Prominences are hot clouds of gas billowing out of the sun along tangled magnetic field lines. And fun fact, you can actually see some of these in the very first photo anyone took of an eclipse back in 1851. So they're like the little squiggles on the side. The coolest thing about these prominences is that they only last for about a day. So whatever ones you see during totality are completely unique to that moment.
Oh, that's so special.
Never to be seen again. If you pull your eyes away from the eclipse for a few seconds, take a look around you. If you can see the horizon, you'll see what looks like a 360-degree dawn. This is the edge of the moon's shadow, visible in the distant sky. A sunrise in every direction. The sky will begin to brighten in the west and darken in the east. And the moon's shadow races eastward across the earth. The sun will be back soon. Now, depending on how close you are to the center of the path of totality, you'll experience anywhere from a few seconds to a few minutes of totality. No matter where you are, it's a good idea to know exactly what time totality ends or have a solar eclipse timer running so that you can get your eclipse glasses on before the sun comes back, because we don't need y'all going blind.
No, your eyes are so beautiful.
And then suddenly, eclipse glasses back on. You'll see a glimmer of light peeking through some valley in the moon's surface on the western edge of the sun. The first Bailey's bead on this side. It might make another diamond ring. Over the next few seconds, more Bailey's beads will flicker in and out. You'll have a second chance to look for those shadow bands if you miss them the first time. Then everything happens in reverse. Bailey's beads fuse into a crescent. The crescent grows and the sky and the surroundings brighten again. Before you know it, the eclipse completely ends and it's an ordinary day again with the sky bright around you. Animals go back to normal. Except for you, who will never be normal again.
We are changed forever.
Isn't that beautiful?
I feel like I experienced it just now. I'm going to cancel my Southwest ticket.
Nope, those two free checked bags.
Oh, no. Dolly's bag, my bag.
Of course. It's so crazy. It's going to be so cool.
I'm so excited.
I know, you'll have to come back to the podcast for the next episode and tell us like all about it.
I will. Okay, so let's talk about witchcraft.
Please. What does it mean?
We've heard about Bailey.
Uh-huh.
We've heard about Jaylee. This is when you go to jail for your eclipse crimes.
Yeah, Haley Bailey.
Okay, so first I want to talk about eclipse season. You might have been hearing your favorite astrologers talk about, quote, eclipse season. And that's because lunar and solar eclipses occur in pairs.
Oh.
Bookending each eclipse season. So guess what, baby witches? We're in eclipse season right now.
Boom, oh, boom. My God. It's wedding season and eclipse season?
The lunar eclipse that pairs so beautifully with our solar eclipse next week happened on March 25th. It's literally the day we're recording. In Libra.
What time?
So, Alicia, how are you feeling?
Oh my gosh,
right now.
Let's
do a quick check-in.
Now that I'm talking about solar eclipses, I feel fucking great because I'm so pumped about them.
She feels so magical.
But earlier, I guess like in the world, I just felt very tired today. I had like a lot to do this past weekend. I'm using today as kind of my Saturday, even though mm-hmm. it's a Monday that we're recording. So yeah, just kind of tired, exhausted, but I'm trying to like be a little productive and keep moving, but not entirely enthusiastic or anything like that.
Okay. So I want you to, during the solar eclipse, what I want you to do is to listen to this episode when you talk about that feeling.
Ooh,
and baby witches, I would love for you to go back and look at your journal, your fights you're having with your boyfriend. In text message form. What's happening March 25th? Because that is going to inform what is happening during the solar eclipse. The next eclipse season will be occurring this coming fall with a partial lunar eclipse in Pisces and a solar eclipse in Libra, which is interesting because this lunar eclipse and the next solar eclipse, both in Libra.
What does it mean?
What does it mean? So similar to the holiday season, it seems like, depending on your personal taste in astrologers, you'll find people expanding eclipse season beyond these bookends, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You could think about it as like our night skies warming up to welcome this big, beautiful lunation energy, right? Mm-hmm. Now, eclipse season, it's whack-a-doodle time, baby witches.
Whack-a-doodle-doo. Oh, no.
And it doesn't help that this season has the beginning of a retrograde Mercury smack dab in the middle of it. It does not help. Mercury began backtracking April 1st, which is just very cute. And it is stationed direct on the 25th of April. We're going to get into that a little more later. Eclipse season is a time when unpredictable things can happen, and that's not a bad thing. Don't be afraid of change, but anytime your identity, the sun, and your emotions, the moon, are in conversation, things can come up. And with this lunar eclipse season occurring between people-pleasing consensus reality Libra and I don't have time for this Aries, I wouldn't be surprised if this eclipse season comes with a lot of energy attached to it, probably attached to a friction between action and inaction, peace and war, like these sort of like these two kind of dueling concepts. Now, before we talk about this particular eclipse, I want to talk about how eclipses in general impact us. So if you're in Melbourne, Australia, you will not see this eclipse. I'm so sorry to tell you, but it will affect you. You cannot get away from it. Every year, there are two-ish eclipses, partial and total, and all of them matter. Just like how the moon can super lunation beam its energy through your brick house, even if you are hiding from it, it will find you. So too can the energy of the eclipse. Oh, you're not getting away. You can smell your fear.
There's nowhere to hide.
The energy of the eclipse does not end when the sun comes back out to play. It is felt for roughly 6 months until the next solar eclipse. And that's because eclipses are like portals.
What? No.
And it will take a while for everything in this new realm to reveal itself to you. So think it's like sort of like a slow ramping up. The solar eclipse? What does it mean? The solar eclipse will be at 19 degrees of Aries. So if you have any placements anywhere from like 14 to 24 degrees of Aries or another cardinal sign, Aries, Libra, Cancer, and Capricorn, you will feel this. This eclipse is energetic. It's got a lot of confidence, but with that confidence comes with some powerful and perhaps destructive individualist thinking.
No, not this year.
I know, it's awful. In general, this is maybe not the easiest nor the right time to try and like meld with the mycelium if you're getting what I'm putting down. Patreon witch Alicia T coming in hot with her first question. Does an eclipse occur in a sign slash house? And if so, in what way does that alter its influence? Baby Alicia, I'm so glad you asked. So houses, homes, if we can call them, if we can be personal. And you know, a house is a home. In astrology are determined by the position of your ascendant based on your perspective view of the night sky at the precise time and location of your birth. So in theory, you could pull a chart for the exact time and location. You'll see the eclipse in its totality to figure out its house placement, I guess. Like, I guess you could do that, but I'm actually not sure, like, what that even means, okay? So it's like, would you be pulling the birth chart for the park you're getting day drunk in?
Maybe we should be.
And like, would that impact, like, would the impact of that chart only exist within that little patch of grass? Like, if you left that, does the impact of the eclipse change when I fly back to New York City? I don't know. If you want to find out where the eclipse is hitting the houses in your birth chart, if you're like Alicia Herder, you in particular.
Yes.
How does this eclipse affect me? I want you to look at where Aries sits in your chart. And if you're like me, and Aries straddles two houses, the fourth and the fifth, look to see exactly where 19 degrees rests. So it doesn't matter. Even if you have like zero planets in this house, you're going to be impacted. And I want you to keep note of anything that's having any direct conjunctions or squares and stuff to that house. So for example, if you have Aries in the second house ruled by Taurus and Venus, this eclipse might have a lot to do with your sense of stability, both material and emotionally. And this might be the push that you need to really tackle some of these issues. Mm-hmm. If you're like me, Aries in the fifth house, the natal house of the sun, you should expect some good forward movement, especially in the areas of travel, your relationships, your family, etc. But remember, this is also the house ruled by Leo, another fire sign, so do not get carried away because you could burn out like a house fire. And remember to listen more than you speak, and don't be too gossipy.
That's such a lesson for you.
If your Alicia and your Aries is in the ninth house, which is like all about philosophy and religion and all these like sort of like high brain things, you might feel like you have a sudden epiphany in these realms. Like, how do you feel about the way the world works? Like, how do you identify with religion, philosophy, reality, right?
Oh, okay. I'm getting smarter. Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, and all the boys are going to Jupiter to get more stupider.
Ba, 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 ba.
Okay, so on top of having to deal with houses and suns and moons and just like being a person who has to pay their taxes next week, there's a couple other collaborators that are current this eclipse. So the sun is conjoined Chiron and Mercury, who remember is in retrograde. So let's break it down. Chiron is the wounded healer. It is your core wounding, the thing that fucks you up so bad at night.
Oh my gosh.
It's also the place where you have the most potential to heal. Alicia and I have the same core wounding, which is in Leo, which is we need so bad to be loved and to be famous and to be the best at everything, or else you might as well just fucking set me on fire right now.
That's fair.
I don't have time for this.
Mm-mm.
Which can also lead to feelings of inadequacy. I'm not good enough. Why haven't I blossomed yet? Energy. But remember, Aries can be about starting shit, but it can also be about getting shit started. This stagnation might be fucking with you, whether it's coming from you. Why aren't I ready yet? Or somewhere else. I'm ready. Why aren't you? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And if this Mercury were direct in the alternate reality where things are good, I might say you have a lot of clarity in the direction you need to go. I might say that.
Oh, no.
But with Mercury in retrograde, you may need to step back, take a big, deep breath, maybe a few more than that, and look at things from a different perspective. That's not to say that one POV is the right POV, but it might be helpful to stop reading the story of your life as like a linear narrative. So what do I mean by that? I was given this little bit of wisdom from a very strange, random hippie I met in Dallas last year, and he said, humans like to view the world like a story in a book, right? So you open the book and there's the world. And I look down at it and I read the words and there's a beginning and a middle and an end and everything is wrapped up in 25 minutes with commercial breaks, right? So what if, and this is maybe just a thought experiment, what would happen if you viewed the world in the round and opened up the dimension of space and time and viewed the narrative of your life like so many crystalline forms refracting and catching one another's light depending on how you rotate it?
I have no idea what that means.
If that sounds fucking boo-boo bananas bonkers, I want you to imagine how I felt, a woman alone, being told that. So now if all of this is just too much, baby, that is okay. Here's a little sneaky trick. I want you to go back through your Insta, your Facebook messages, your morning pages, and see what was going on around April 20th of last year. Because last year, on April 20th, we had a solar eclipse in the anaretic degree, the final and most powerful degree of Aries. And just see, what was the vibe? How are we feeling?
Okay, let me find out.
What came up? Can you find out right now?
Yeah, I'm going to open up my calendar and see if I did anything that day. Let's see.
And then I want you to do that, and then I want you to look 6 months later. Because remember, eclipses, they unfold over 6 months.
Okay, I was already in LA, and I was working on a very crazy film shoot.
You were. Okay, now look 6 months later. What was going on?
What would that be? So April?
That's October.
October 20th? Okay, let's see.
Yeah, right before your birthday. And it doesn't have to be exactly that, but just like the weeks around.
Yeah, let's see. Starting to get a social life again, I think, is what was happening around that time for me.
Connections, reconnecting. It was kind of like, it sounded like being dropped in the tornado. You're in the movie Twister.
Yes. I'm the cow.
All your friends are the little balls.
Yeah.
And now at the end of the movie, you're kissing.
I love that.
That white woman.
I'll kiss anyone. It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Okay. I want to talk about the Maya object.
Yes, please.
Because Patreon member Sarah needs to know.
Me too, Sarah.
Like the Fire Nation, do we become weak and powerless, or do we rise up like the Water Nation beneath the full moon? Mm. What does it mean? Some people will tell you that most eclipses are not the time to do magics. Their power is too unpredictable. They've been attached to wild calamities in the past, and they can twist magic in unintended ways. They're very powerful. And I would say yes, yes to all of this. I am very hesitant to encourage you to do much of anything other than let the amazing qualities of the universe wash over you like so many beautiful waves from the ocean of the cosmos. It's kind of like trying to harness the power of a lightning bolt, but you are a little ant. Oh, maybe a ladybug.
Maybe a ladybug.
You're a little bug, and you're like, it lives. But you're so small and so cute, and you only have so many legs and so much brain power. But what if you were a special ladybug?
A magic ladybug.
A gambling ladybug who counts cards in the casino of space time. What could you do?
A ladybug shark.
Yes. Hey, sharks. So here's what you can do. Charging objects with strange power. So this energy, it's powerful, it's chaotic, it's bewildering. I don't quite understand it. But if you could capture this energy, what could you do? Candles created or carved during this time of darkness will be very powerful and could be used for a diverse range of rituals. If you need big witchy power, jewelry, tools, signed pictures of celebrities you purchase on eBay, it could be anything.
Work.
Anything. Transformation magic. The eclipse, as I said before, is a portal. It's a doorway to the next universe where you're hot and your titties are big. You simply have to harmonize with it. If you're a true baby witch, I might not encourage you to engage in any kind of transformation magic at this time. What's that short story about the man who becomes a cockroach? What is that? Metamorphosis? What's the name of that short story? Do you remember?
Is that the Kafka?
Yeah.
The Metamorphosis. Good job.
My fear is that we get some calls, some emails maybe, from Los Cucarachas, who were once Los Baby Witches. So if you feel like this is your first eclipse, maybe you're not used to working with this kind of energy, that's okay. It's okay to sit in the back of the class and just look and listen. Right? Stop, drop, and roll. If you feel you can sense and maneuver through the rolling waves of lunations and solar events, I would encourage you to open your astral butterfly wings and ride the current. This is not about control. This is about, can you handle the wobble?
Wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble, baby, wobble.
So the biggest thing I would encourage you baby witches to do is plant your gorgeous self down somewhere. Make it comfy, have a drink, and engage in deep listening. This energy is magnetic and megaphonic. Keep yourself safe by grounding yourself, whether alone or with others, but open your ears and your heart to messages. This is not about ultimatums. This is not about big decisions. This is about eyes up, ears open. I'm ready. I'll take whatever you give to me. So, how are we going to see this bitch? There are plenty of great maps on nso.edu where you can see the path of the eclipse as it traverses central Mexico, parts of Texas, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Kentucky, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, upstate New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, Maine, which I did not put an E at the end of in this document, but you knew what I meant, and just the tail end of Canada and New Brunswick. So if Alicia and I had just failed at our dreams and remained trapped in Indiana, we could have seen this eclipse. Ugh. And that's like some weird, bizarro universe that I'm not interested in exploring. Yeah,
that's crazy.
So USA Today has a tool where you can search your zip code to calculate the exact time of the eclipse. So in Dallas, Texas, where I'll be vibing with my folks, we'll experience totality around 1:41 p.m. local time and have it within our clutches for almost 4 minutes. 4 witchy minutes.
That's cool.
Indianapolis, you're getting about 3:10. You're picking up your kids from elementary school. 3:10 p.m. Buffalo, 3:20. The kids are in the car. Montreal, 3:30. It's almost happy hour time. Oh, wowee. Gosh. All right, what are we wearing? Witches, I hope you are dressed to the nines. I hope you are busting out of your top and your bottoms. But there are two things that you really need. And one is you might need a little sweater because it gets chilly sometimes. Bring a blanket, bring a scarf, whatever you need. But most importantly, you need some kind of PPE, personal protective equipment, to view this eclipse. If you are Tammy, who does not listen to this podcast anymore, but she is very supportive, you purchased your eclipse glasses months ago because you may not have time and they might all be sold out, even on Amazon. These are not your regular sunglasses. To date, only 4 companies provide eclipse glasses or solar viewers that meet international standards. They are Rainbow Symphony, American Paper Optics, Thousand Oaks Optical, and TSE 17.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Baby witches, do not view this solar eclipse through a telescope. You will die. Do not look at it through a film camera. Do not look at the sun directly until you've entered totality. If you do, do not come running back to me, baby witches, or should I say, baby bitches, that your eyeballs have turned into fried eggs and you smell like a Denny's. I will not respond. I'm not taking that call. If you cannot get these glasses online fast enough, or you haven't had some guy try to sell them to you every day in downtown for the past week, you can make your own viewing device with a pinhole projection. It's not going to be cool.
You're going to look goofy.
It's going to be lame. However, you can find easy tutorials to make them online, and you can make them with materials that you can find around your house the day of. So it could be like a cute little project you do with your partner or your nieces and nephews or your friends or your children. I'm not fucking around with this, baby witches. If you look at this eclipse without witchy PPE, you will burn your fucking retina, causing something called eclipse blindness. And sure, in some cases, it only lasts 3 to 6 months, but sometimes it's permanent.
That really happens?
Yes, it does.
That's so
scary. And how will you know?
Well, you'll be blind. That's how you'll know.
But how will you know that there are new Witch Yes episodes if you cannot see your phone? How will you appreciate my Little Key of Solomon episode that I've been researching for months? How will you appreciate Alicia's episode on eternal flames? You don't even know about it yet. It's about flames that are forever. You won't get to hear it because you made the poor choice of looking into the face of God, and now you can't see the Apple podcast icon on your iPhone 14. And that's so embarrassing, and it fucks up my numbers. Okay? Okay? Yeah,
be safe rather than sorry.
Be safe, smart, sexy. Wear your prom dress. You can still fit into it. And have a good time. Take a photo with your iPhone, not with your DSLR.
Your zoom lens, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Crazy. Absolutely insane. But this is all such good information to know, and that's why we wanted to make sure we did this episode now, so you have time to plan. Because we wanted you guys to be ready to go. And in fact, now you can be like, oh, I know about the eclipse, and I have my glasses, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a whole day about it. And then I'm going to, I don't know, corral the power of chaos and God with witchcraft.
Yeah, you know, just like the little things.
The little things. It's so wild, but I don't know. Maybe we all need some chaos energy. But I'm excited. It's still kind of fucking crazy. I'm still over here like, what do the gods want from us?
Feet pics.
I mean, they want a lot from us. Yeah.
They want feet pics.
They want a free Palestine. They want a lot. Yeah. They've got a long
agenda. They want a lot of
things. Yeah.
There's a lot on the docket.
Absolutely.
In the God Congress docket.
Takes a while for them to pass anything, but they got a lot of goals. But I love this. And it's going to be so much fun for you to go and be with your mom and see the solar eclipse. And you're going to have to just tell us everything about it.
Yeah. Make a memory.
Because you're going to come back a changed person.
I really hope so.
Yeah, I think so.
What if I have bangs?
I mean, it's nothing we can't get through together. We're best friends. I'm here for you. Just get your solar eclipse glasses.
And you know who else I'm here for?
Mm-hmm.
The people we work with.
We would like to thank our producer, Marcel Perez, our creative director, Mallory Jordan, and to Kevin McLeod, who has the music that we hear in the intro and the outro each week.
I'd also really like to thank anyone who's left us an Apple Podcast review and anyone who just like listens to our show.
We love you.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, guys.
This is a lot of work, and it always surprised me that people are into it. Subscribe to our channels on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to podcasts. Head over to Apple Podcasts. Give us 5 stars. I like really need you to do it. Can we do it right now? Like, before you forget, sign up for our Patreon, and then also, can you leave us a review? We have almost 1 million listens. What if every person that listened just left 1 review? We would beat the shit out of NPR. Which is my dream.
We would do like a WWE SmackDown with NPR. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I take Michael Barbaro from the New York Times.
Mm-hmm.
I'd grab him by the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say, you don't need to do the pause that you do.
The millennial pause.
Yeah, you don't need to do that.
If you want to find me, Alicia, I'm on Instagram at Alicia.Herder. If you want to find Tara,
you can find me at Her Lovely Face. You can also sign up for my super secret postcard club. Check it out. Instagram, Her Lovely Face.
Love that. We are on Instagram at Witch Yes. Share an episode in your stories. Tag us and we'll feature you on our stories. We're working it over there. We also have the Discord server. So, you know, leave us 5 stars. Head over to the Discord server and maybe you can meet a group of witches in your zip code who are also going to see the eclipse and have like a little viewing party together.
How magical would that be?
It'd be very fucking cute. And if you don't like the socials, you can always contact us via email at witchesspodcast@gmail.com.
Baby witches, if you are hungry,
starving.
Mm-hmm. If you've been counting calories for so long and you're ready for a big old binge,
mm-hmm.
You can find us on Patreon. $5 Patreon witches and above get access to 2 extra episodes a month, plus our catalog of over 100.
Delicious.
It's like you could not even watch it in 1 full week. If you were just like zooming on Adderall and did not want to sleep, you couldn't get it done. $10 and above get access to our close friends list and more. They get to ask questions. I want to thank Sarah and Alicia T for asking wonderful questions for our episode today. And just very quick, I also wanted to thank our Discord server for welcoming one of my Patreon members to the Discord. She's not a listener, but she was saying like, oh, I didn't know that you're witchy. And I was like, if you're witchy, you got to hang out with these other witches. And she came in. She was like, hey, this is me. This is what I'm up to. Tara sent me. And everyone was like, welcome.
That's so cute.
Isn't that so cute? So like, here's the deal. Witches, we've made an amazing community. Check it out on Patreon. Check it out on Discord. Leave us a review. We deserve it. And I guess that means this has been
Witch Yes. Bye, guys. Happy viewing. Bye.